to you tonight about resurrection people. Are you a resurrection person? Amen. Matthew 28, verses 5 through 6. If you're there, say amen. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. That's a 3-point outline right there. Come, see the place where the Lord used to lay. That's what it really meant. Oh, praise God, the resurrection. Now go to Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to talk about a group of people. The pastor mentioned them, I believe, in his Easter message, called the Sadducees. Matthew 22 and verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees. Everybody say Sadducees. Just saying it makes you sad. And why is that? Look at that. Which say there is no resurrection. Father, I pray tonight you would make us resurrection people. Thank you, Father, that you are a way maker. And my God is real. And Father, anoint your servant to speak, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to see them. If you're not close by, send a wave. Just wave to somebody. Amen. 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 I don't normally like to point out my family because they get on me afterwards. But my mother is, had some sicknesses a couple of years ago. She was in hospital several days, so she's been very careful with the COVID. And she is like a lot of people that has to be very careful. But she's fully vaccinated. And, Mom, I'm just so glad to see you back in church tonight. Amen. I love my mom. I'm a mama's boy. Amen. Amen. We live in a day when everyone is stereotyped, classified as a group. You've got European Americans, Native Americans, African Americans. There are Facebook groups, political parties, church denominations. Now, I'm not saying all that's bad. I'm not saying it's bad to be labeled as an African American or European American, because truth of the matter is that based on your beliefs or based on your culture, I'm a Pentecostal, and so I fellowship with those of like mind. There are other non-Pentecostals, Southern Baptist, Missionary Baptist, Methodist, other ones that we agree on some things, but we put ourselves in groups and based on our culture, based on our choices. And they place you among others who are like-minded. Well, let me tell you tonight about another group that I pray that we're all classified under. Because we find in our text a group of people who believed in the resurrection. But we also find there was another group of people who did not believe in the resurrection. They believed that when death occurred, that was it. Like an animal. When you die, nothing beyond that. And I don't have time to explain all of who they were and why they came to their conclusions. But they were called the Sadducees. Say that with me. The Sadducees. As Pastor Jerry said, they were sad, you see. And they were not grouped under the people who believed in the resurrection. They were not resurrection people. But my friend, I want you to know that we're celebrating the ultimate proof that there is life beyond the grave. There is something beyond the grave. There is hope in the shadow of death. There is, when we are buried, it is not over. The proof of that is that Jesus Christ, our Lord, died. And on the third day, blessed be the Lord, my God is real, and he rose from the dead. When the disciples came to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from a dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And that's proof that there is life beyond the grave. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight? And because we believe that, we're not sad, you see. We're grouped with that group that believes in the resurrection. We are people of Easter. We are people of the risen Lord. We are resurrection people. Somebody say, we are resurrection people. When it comes to the resurrection, there's three groups. There are the Sadducees who believe in no resurrection. There are those who know he is alive. And then there's a third group that I kind of want to bring to your thought tonight. There's a third group that know that he is alive, but the way they act like he's still dead. Have you met some of those Christians? So I want to know, what group are you in? Are you one of those that believe in no resurrection? Are you Sadducees? Are you one of those who do believe in the resurrection? Or are you one of those who believe in the resurrection, but every time we see you at the food line, you don't really act like he's alive? Because I heard an old song that said, if you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. Clap your hands. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. That's part of the song. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, stomp your feet, shake your fist. No, I don't know if that was part of it, but we ought to just praise him. And I want to know, are you one of those resurrection people? There are four things I want to give you tonight to see if you are a resurrection person. Number one, resurrection people. Do you want to be a resurrection person? Resurrection people, point number one, are a forgiving people. Oh my. Oh, look at Mark chapter 14 and verse 50. Mark chapter 14 and verse 50 said, they all forsook him and fled. In other words, all 12 disciples, people who he loved, people who he cared for, people who he chose, people who he needed, at his most critical and desperate hour, it says they all forsook him and fled. Peter forsook him and fled. James forsook him. John forsook him. It might not have been long, but just enough to say that they all, in that critical moment, forsook him. And by the way, on a side note, if you've ever been forsaken by a friend, and some of you have been forsaken by even a marriage partner left you for someone else, or maybe a parent wasn't there, or maybe someone else in your life, then understand the Lord knows how you feel. If you've been forsaken by someone you cared for and loved, I've seen parents who their children whom they loved and provided for won't ever call them, won't ever see them. Then God knows exactly how you feel. He is a friend of a wounded heart tonight, but I've got good news for you tonight. They may have forsook him, but he never forsook them. He was a forgiving Savior, and he forgave them. And I want you to know, resurrection people, their sins are washed in the blood. Let me tell you, the greatest sin of all is leaving Jesus. Everything else is under that head title. I mean, if it's adultery, fornication, that means you left Jesus. If you did alcoholism or some other great sin or gossip or whatever, you know what that means? You forsook Jesus. I don't know if there's anybody, you say, well, man, Peter, he should ought to be ashamed. Man, James, they ought to be ashamed. What about you? When you forsook the Lord in your times of unbelief, in your times of sin, in your times where you didn't forgive others, but I'm so thankful that he forgave me. And when he came out of that grave, he said, go to my disciples. Those who forsook me, tell them this. Number one, I'm alive. And number two, all is forgiven. Would you give him praise that he has forgiven you? That ought to keep you from looking down at somebody. Think you're better than somebody. I know I'm better than somebody. We all forsook him. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus, listen, searched them out. He came to them. He loved them. And all resurrection people are forgiven. Their sins are under the blood, washed away. The veil in the temple was torn, listen, from top to bottom. You see, the veil in the temple was a very big, heavy curtain. And it would be tough enough to tear it from the bottom to the top. But it stood almost 15 feet high, and it was torn from top to bottom. Oh, I like what one preacher said. The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom so that we could go from the bottom to the top. Why don't you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Have you ever experienced forgiveness? Can you say amen? Do you know what it's like to have your sins when you forsook him? Aren't you glad that after you forsook him and denied him like Peter, he went back to you and said, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. Oh, I'm so glad to know that resurrection people have experienced forgiveness. But not only should forgiveness be experienced, forgiveness should be extended. What he has forgiven you, you are to forgive others. And I'll tell you, are you part of those? You want to see a sad you see? You get around somebody who has a hard time forgiving other people. Man, they are sad you see. Come on now. That root fruit of bitterness. Oh, somebody hurt my feelings. And listen, I just want to talk about unforgiveness. And listen, there are some things people have done, and I have heard stories, and as a pastor, they've sat in my office, and they could tell you some terrible things people have had done to them. But I'll never forget reading about a little girl. She was a Mormon girl out in Utah, and I can't remember her name. If I called her name, you would remember. But she was kidnapped from her house in the middle of the night, and some crazy man and his wife took her into the mountains up there, and for I guess a year or two just abused her day after day. What was her name? Elizabeth Smart. That's it. You want to read a book that will make your hair stand on the back of your head as she describes what happened to her. And I remember coming to the end of that book, and she was going to face that man in trial. But when she came back home, her mother sat down with her and said, "Sweetie, let me tell you how to defeat that man. You forgive him because Jesus has forgiven us. And if you will forgive him and put it in your past, he won't ever again in your mind or your body ever hurt you." And she wrote in that book, "I made a conscious decision. I forgave him." And I'll tell you, that was worth the reading of that book. I said, glory, hallelujah. Only the Lord can help you forgive like that. Only the resurrection people, they have experienced forgiveness, and they can extend forgiveness. Somebody give him a hand of praise here this morning. Now, I can tell you, 99% of you will never go through what Elizabeth Smart went through, and then some of you forgive have a hard time forgiving a whole lot less. Oh, shall we have an altar call now? Resurrection people are forgiven people. Bitterness does more damage where it is stored than where it is poured. Number two, resurrection people are not only a forgiving people and a forgiven people, they are, number two, a faith-filled people. Oh, listen, when you're a resurrection person, you're a person of faith. You're not a person of doubt. You know, you remember John chapter 20 and verse 27. There's some people like old doubting Thomas. Then said he to Thomas, John 20 and verse 27, if we have it. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless." But only believe. And old Thomas, he doubted. He said, "Unless I see the nail prints in his hand, unless I see the scar in his side." And Jesus said, "Thomas, here's those nail prints. Here's that scar." We've all got part of that doubting Thomas in us. Come on and confess it. But for a moment, I know it's hard to confess it. Sometimes when that doctor's report comes, old doubting Thomas shows up again, doesn't he? How about when the economy begins to go down? How about when things aren't happening? Let me tell you, what about on Friday? I tell you, Friday looked bad. I mean, Jesus was crucified on Friday. It was dark on Friday. But listen, it may be Friday, but to you doubting Thomases out there, Sunday's coming. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, Sunday's coming. Amen. I like what one of the great preachers said. We live on the Sunday side of Easter. We got too many people back on the Friday side and on the Saturday side. And their faces are so long they can land a 747 on it. And gloom, despair, and pressure, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression. And I know all of you baby boomers know what that comes from. That comes from hee-haw. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have. Listen, you're a Sadducee. You need to have a faith lift. You need to believe things are looking, well, what about COVID-19? Well, what about COVID-19? My God came out of that grave and he defeated sickness and disease. We're going to make it because we're resurrection people. Somebody say amen. If you're facing a financial struggle, listen, when Jesus rose from the dead, anything can happen. I said anything can happen. 1 year ago, and the pandemic hit. And I didn't know if I was going to be laid off from one of the jobs I had. Pastors didn't know if the churches were going to continue to give. And we didn't know what was going to happen. And I'll tell you what. I don't know, but I know there's some people that suffered. I know there's some people that have been laid off. I know. But I want to tell you, for me and Darnell, 1 year ago, we were renting. And that's okay if you got to rent. But I'll tell you, you take 5 years times rent, and that's money gone forever and ever. And it's a good thing. But and praise God for the place I lived at. But I knew God was going to give me a house. He'd already spoke it to me. He told me. In fact, I got it written in one of my Bibles. A house is coming. I knew it was coming. I just didn't know it was going to come now. In a pandemic. Hallelujah. We're about to dedicate that house. Praise God. We're about to have the pastor come and anoint that place. And praise God for his blessings. Amen. And I tell you, you got to have faith in the pandemic. And listen, if God can give a house to a preacher, amen. If God can take a doubting Thomas, if God can rise from the dead. Listen, Pope John Paul II said, do not abandon yourselves to despair. We are Easter people and hallelujah is our song. Amen, Pope John Paul. Come on, hallelujah. We're faith-filled. We believe he can move those mountains. We believe this is our miracle moment. We believe that we can be blessed in the pandemic. We believe that God is on the throne and the Holy Trinity is not an emergency session and the Father is not wringing his hands. He's got good things planned for this world, for those who love him. Good things planned for those who have accepted his Son and have signed up to be a resurrection people. Can you say amen tonight? Are you faith-filled? Are you believing? Are you sowing? Are you sowing? Are you sowing? Because you can't reap what you don't sow. Amen? Praise God. He is going to bless us. Faith-filled. Say faith-filled. I'm believing. Say that I'm believing. I'm a resurrection person. And anything can happen. Any healing can happen. Any situation can turn around. Tell your neighbor, it's never too late. God doesn't operate on your time clock. He operates on his. Amen. I believe that those divine suddenlies can happen. Amen. Number three, resurrection people are not only a forgiving people and a faith-filled people, they are a witnessing people. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. You know how Christianity started? It basically started with just a hodgepodge group of people basically saying this. He's alive! That's what motivated them. Hallelujah! This is one of the arguments that proves Christianity is the real deal. Listen, everything hinges on the resurrection. If he died and was buried, then everybody's religion is par for the course. Just do the best you can and hope. When you die, hopefully you'll earn your way, do enough, have given enough, nice enough, maybe. You get a chance. Certainly don't want to go to hell. But if you go to Muhammad's grave, he's still there. Go to Mecca, he's still there. If you go to Buddha's grave, still there. Go to Lenin's tomb, the great atheist, and he is still there. I think they finally took him off of display, but for years his sarcophagus sat there, and you saw the lifeless body of that brutal communist dictator. And he was there just as dead could be. And every now and then I thought about maybe it'd be good to preach a sermon on how they kept up with that old dead Lenin. Vladimir Lenin, a man, not a cough, but, every now and then they would have to go out and do work on the body and do makeup and do this and ice and compact. You know what? He was dead. Let the old man go. He's probably in hell. He's been in hell the moment he breathed his last breath, unless he got saved and founded communism. He was dead. But our Lord, he is not rotting in a grave. We don't have him in a museum somewhere for you to see. Go to the tomb. It is empty. He is alive. Jesus is the way, the truth. Well, all religions are equal and you're entitled to your opinion. Well, opinions work with cars. Your opinion, it might be as good as mine. Your car, your Chevrolet might be better than my Ford, or your Toyota might be better than my Nissan. That's an opinion that really don't matter. But you are not entitled to your opinion when it comes to who's right and wrong, when it comes to life after death. And how can we not tell others about it? We've got to tell people. We've got to give witness to it. I invited many people to be here on Easter Sunday. I hate to tell you this, but I told several of my coworkers at Best Buy, I said, if you'll come, I'll take you out to lunch. I'll pay it out of my pocket. And I was willing. And I tell you what, family style at Parker's ain't cheap, brother. It's ridiculous how expensive family style is. And I love them out there. All three of those managers, they're friends of mine. I got one of them I could text. And last time we took a group, they said, you just sit right on over here. That's the way I like it. Amen. Praise God. And I invited several. I really targeted about three or four that I was really working on. Only one came. That one I took to Parker's. But friend, the point is this. My heart is clear. I did everything I could to get somebody in church on Easter Sunday. And ladies and gentlemen, let me implore you. Let me tell you, how can you keep it to yourself? If you've got a neighbor, you've got a child, you've got a friend, you've got family, and they have never dying souls that are going to burn in hell forever and ever. And we need to ratchet this up a little bit, because death can happen just like that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we do not know. We are not promised tomorrow. And I hope and I pray and I implore you, as one of your pastors, I want you to be a witnessing people. I want you to invite people. The least you can do is invite people to church and say, come with me and let's have church. I want to take you in a sense to a tomb, and you'll see that it's empty, so you don't have to be empty. Hallelujah. We are resurrection people, and we are witnesses, and we can say he is alive. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Well, glory. Pastor Jerry, there's just an anointing all over this place. It's gotten stronger the last few weeks and the last few months. Amen. Reader's Digest ran a story one time about a guy named Jeff who, when he was 12, accidentally broke a window while playing with a baseball with a friend. They quickly looked around to see if anyone was looking. The only witness happened to be Jeff's younger brother. Jeff said to him, keep quiet about this and I'll give you some candy. The younger brother said he didn't want any candy. Jeff said, well, keep quiet and I'll give you a baseball. The younger brother said, I don't want your baseball. Jeff said, well, how about my baseball and my brand new glove? The younger brother said, I don't want your glove either. Then Jeff got a little upset and said, well, tell me, what do you want? His little brother said, I want a tail. I hope that's what we do, is we want to tell resurrection people that he is alive. You remember Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 through 7? Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 through 7. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now look at verse 7. And go quickly and tell. Say it with me. And go quickly and tell. Hey, folks, he's alive. Now go quickly and tell somebody today, tomorrow, every day. Tell somebody, be a witnessing person. If you're a resurrection person, you will witness and go quickly and tell. Can you say amen? And then finally, a resurrection people, they are a forgiving people, a faith-filled people, a witnessing people, and finally, a worshiping people. Matthew 28, 16 through 17. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. How can you not praise him for that awful night in Gethsemane where he prayed until sweat became as great drops of blood? Folks, let me tell you something, how horribly sinful it will be for you to stand before God Almighty and bypass his son and take your own goodness before God. You will insult God. You will say that those tears didn't need anything. Your sins didn't require the thorns in his head. We have pride in our heart that it runs deep, and we don't like to be called a sinner. We don't like to call sin sin anymore. We don't call it adultery. We call it an affair. Friend, it's adultery. We call alcoholism a sickness. Hello. They may tell you on the young and the restless it's a sickness, or WRAL is a sickness. Alcoholism is a choice because it is a sin. Now, once it grips you, it may be hard to let go. That's why you need to come to the empty tomb. Hallelujah! And God will set the alcoholic free. That's the only hope. Amen. It's not a sickness. It's an outright sin. It is sin because we love it. We cherish it. We cuddle it. And one of the greatest sins is our own human goodness to think, I am good enough. I'm not a bad person. Friend, he died on that cross because we were all sinners. Oh, he bled and he died. But how can we not worship him? Because of the blood, because of the spear, because of the seven sayings on the cross. How can we not enter his gates with thanksgiving? I don't care if somebody hurt your feelings. I don't care if you're going through a downturn. I don't care what somebody else did. It's what he did. I can't help but pull out my praise to the God who suffered for me. Amen. It is for sin that Christ died. For sinners, Christ died. I was a sinner. I was lost and undone. I came under conviction. Even at 12 years of age, I was already leaning towards sin. If not in practice, I mean, I was only 12. So much mama would let me get by with. Thank you, Mom. But had she lightened the reins, I might have been in a greater sin, and sin might have had a greater hold on my life, and it might have been harder for me to let go of it. But I remember, and conviction came upon my heart, and Grandma took me to church. My great grandmother took me to church, and they would preach, and I got so afraid. I knew that I had sinned. I knew that, and I was afraid to die. I was afraid I would go to hell, and I didn't want to be forever without. Yes, I was afraid to go to hell. Thank God the preachers preached it just like it is. Heaven real and hell hot. We need the fear of the Lord again. People come up with these crazy stuff. Well, people don't need to get saved because they're afraid to go to hell. Yes, they do. That's exactly right. I don't want to go to hell. Friend, when the air condition breaks down, it's hard enough to sleep. And I'm a homeowner now, and I pray that thing don't break down. Hallelujah. It's still under warranty till December 16th. I say, Lord, if it's going to break down, let it break down between now and then. Amen. Friend, conviction hit my soul. And I remember I just had fear. And you know, amazing grace, and grace taught my heart to fear, but grace my fears relieved. And I remember I found my way and I placed a prayer and I said, Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned and I don't deserve your mercies. But if you will forgive me, if you will take what life I have, I will give it to you. And listen, I've been a sorry Christian, but I've never been sorry I was a Christian. Amen. Aren't you glad that he saved you? Amen. The old rugged cross, he's alive today. And really, this all ties it together. A resurrection people are a worshiping people. And you worship when you forgive others. That's a part of your worship. When you have been forgiven, you can't help but worship. When you live a life of faith, that is a life of worship. When you're witnessing, you're worshiping. Do you hear my points here tonight? Forgiving people will worship. Faith-filled people will worship. Witnessing people will worship. If you're not witnessing, you're probably not worshiping. Because when you worship, you can't help but say how good it is. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. And I'm going to read this in the message. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, and death are gone. The gift of our Master Jesus Christ, thank God. Oh, let's worship because there is hope beyond the grave. Let's worship because there's resurrection power moving in this hour. Let's worship on earth as it is in heaven. Let's get on holy ground like those angels and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Resurrection people, let's worship and praise the King of Kings. Come on, lift your hands, lift your hearts, give him a hand of praise. He's worthy. We worship you tonight. Amen. 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 A man left Chicago for a vacation to Key West. Chicago up north, Key West way down yonder. His wife was on a business trip and planned to fly down to meet him the next day. When the man arrived in Florida, he emailed his wife to let her know he had arrived, but he mistyped her email address. You know, if you get one letter off from the email, it'll go to the wrong person or go back to you. Instead, his email to tell his wife that he had arrived in Key West, Florida, went to another lady whose husband had just passed away. When the grieving widow opened her email, she read the following message and almost passed out. The woman's daughter rushed into the room and the note was on the computer screen. My darling wife, just checked in. Now she's thinking this is from her dead husband. Everything is prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to being with you again. Your loving husband. P.S. It sure is hot down here. We don't have to worry about that. We ought to worship. Amen. I said we ought to worship. Hallelujah. Are you a sad, you see? Come on. Are you a sad, you see? We're going to walk around, Pastor Jerry and I and Brother Philip and other leaders in the church. And we're going, when you come in and that certain look, we're going to say, there's one of our sad, you sees. Oh, don't be a sad, you see. Pastor, when you said that the other day, Haley loved that. She talked about that. She don't ever talk about my sermons, but she talks about yours. Amen. Oh, my. She does talk about mine, too. I better correct that. But acknowledge that Jesus is alive. But don't live like he's still in the grave. Would you stand with me tonight? Amen. Oh, as I close with this. As I close with this, the resurrection happened in Jerusalem. Can you say amen? The resurrection is going to happen in the grave one day. Can you say amen? But I want to tell you the resurrection can happen right now in your heart. I want us to come to the altar and let's just close in prayer tonight. Amen. And Pastor can come if he would like as I play a song on the piano. But I want us to just do that. I want us to, if you need to forgive somebody, come on, everybody. I know it's COVID-19. Just spread out as much as you're comfortable with. And we're easing back into normal altar calls here. But come on, let's pray tonight. If you need to forgive somebody, be a resurrection person and forgive them. If you've got doubt tonight, let's us pray with you and believe that God is going to meet every need. And Brother Blue, I'm getting ready to go to this microphone. If you've got, just pray that God will lay somebody on your heart tonight if you need to witness, and just worship him tonight. Just give him praise here tonight. He's alive. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you tonight. I know he rescued my soul. His blood has forgiven my sin. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I don't remember the words, but I'm going to sing it. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm redeemed tonight. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer. Sister Darnell, if you can put up the words. Redeemer lives. Come on. My Redeemer lives. Oh, my Redeemer. Is he alive tonight? My Redeemer. Do you need healing tonight? My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer. I want you to turn around and ask somebody, are you a Sadducee? Come on. Are you a Sadducee? Oh, I know he rescued my soul. His blood has forgiven my sin. I believe. I believe. Shame, he's my shame. He's taken away my pain. I'm healed in his name. I believe. I believe. I'll raise a banner. Come on, sing. I'll raise a banner. My Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. He does. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer. I know he rescued. Sing it. I know he rescued my soul. His blood has forgiven my sin. I believe. I believe. Oh, my shame. My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I believe. I'll raise a banner. I'll raise a banner. My Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. Yes, he does. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. You lift the burdens. You lift my burden. I'll rise with you. I'll rise with you. Come on now. I'm dancing on this mountaintop to see your kingdom come. My Redeemer lives. Oh, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer. One more time. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer. He's alive. Yes, he is. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.